When I resigned at Volkswagen and I was 18 years old, I wasn't super happy with the direction my career was taking. So I thought about like ways to make things that gave me more satisfaction. And then I left the company. I went to Australia to study English there. And I didn't have like a proper plan, but I had like a lot of support from my parents. But still, like that process was very painful. And with Apple was the same thing. I knew I wanted to take some time off to think about what I wanted to do next. I think I'm just opening space for new things to come.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast with the goal of demystifying tech. The way we do that is by interviewing Latinx leaders all over the world to hear their perspective and insights. Today, we are talking with Leandro Senna. Senna and his partner were the first friends I made when I moved to San Francisco. He was a designer lead at Apple, where he worked for 7 years. Senna also has a huge experience in graphic design, working for agencies. In the beginning of his career, Senna worked at Volkswagen assembling cars when he was based in São Bernardo, Brazil. Welcome to Latinx in Power, Senna.
Hi, Thaisa. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the introduction and for the invite. I love what you're doing. It's really special. And I hope I can add and contribute somehow with your mission.
I'm sure you will. So for today, we are talking about sabbatical. This is a theme I wanted to bring to this podcast for a while. I feel our community doesn't talk much about it. For most of the time, this is a subject so far away from our reality. And also, I'm excited to discuss that with Senna. And Senna, how everything started?
Okay, so it's a long story. So I think my journey started in my city growing up in São Bernardo do Campo, which is a city close by São Paulo. And it starts with my family, like my dad and my mom. They were super hardworking and loving parents. They dedicated a lot of their time to me and to my siblings. And I think as I get older, I realize more and more how my parents are responsible for my success today, or how my parents are responsible for what I am today. Like most Brazilians, maybe Latin people, I grew up addicted to football or soccer, how they call it here. And I started playing seriously when I was around 7. And I think when you play a collective sport, you really learn how to be in a team, how to respect your teammates and your coaches. And you're constantly pushing and giving your best because it's a competition and you want to win. And you have schedules and a commitment to your friends and in your team, right? And I was pretty good at it. And I ended up getting scholarship and in private schools since I was 10 until I graduated college. I probably would not have money to pay for all that. So this opportunity to get a nice education from soccer was very important to me and played a big part in my career, I think. But my professional career really started when I was 15. Maybe you can compare my city with Detroit here in the US. It's a blue-collar city with many car factories. My dad worked for Volkswagen about 40 years, which is super impressive by today's standards, right? And the factory had this apprentice program for kids of their employees. I kind of enrolled there and studied there for 2 years, every day from 8 to 5. I was learning something about the process involved in car production, like welding, electric, pneumatic, technical drawing, and a bunch of other things. And then after those 2 years, I got hired by the company and started working as a welder, assembling cars. I also installed seatbelts for a while, which is dangerous. Like, you think that I was the one installing seatbelts. Think about that.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is, but there's a lot of people checking what you do as well. So, and during this time, I was going to high school during the night as well. So it was very tiring. When I was 18 years old, the company was going through a hard time. And because the union is super strong there, instead of mass layoffs, they offered money for employees who wanted to leave. So I think this is a turning point in my life. I think the phase I'm going through right now is very similar to this period of my life. It was a very painful moment. Like, how can I leave this nice salary in the best company around, a good future ahead of me, a job that my neighbors would queue to get a chance to have, where my grandpa and my dad worked? So today is very easy to understand. And I had a very distorted idea about life. I was living inside a bubble. My ideas and perspectives are all based on what I have lived at this point, right? So it was all based on my references at that time. and it was super scary. So I've talked to my parents, and again, they were very supportive and everything. I didn't have a proper plan, but I wasn't happy, and it was not what I wanted to do. So I accepted this package, I got the money, and I spent half of that going to Australia to learn English. I spent 6 weeks in Australia, in Sydney. So Sydney was my first trip abroad, second time inside a plane. It was crazy because I went by myself. I didn't know anyone there. My English was just okay. And I was staying with an Aussie family that school had arranged for me. Have you done any kind of like study like that?
I almost went to France when I finished college, and it didn't happen actually. And I kind of regret it for a long time.
Yeah, I was just 18 years old. So I was, you know, just starting to drink and party. And then I went to Australia, and it was such a great experience. And the first thing that happened to me when I left the airport, I got a taxi to go to this place I was staying, and the cab driver asked me if I was Indian. And I was like, okay, I'm in this place where I'm different now, right? So they don't know anything about me, and they're gonna start like labeling me. So this short period in Sydney opened up my eyes so much, just because of what we were saying before. Like, we grew up understanding these concepts and these answers as being the only options. But when you go to a different place, so far away from home, different culture, language, you realize that all the humans have found infinite different solutions for the same problems. Like, when you're living abroad, you have to relearn every simple little thing. Like, how do you take a bus? How do you order a beer in a bar? In Brazil, we don't tip waiters, right? Like we tip here, for example. And then you have to relearn like how to make your tax, or how to talk to your boss, or what kind of food you like to eat here, like different restaurants and spices. And something that shocked me a lot in Australia was that I was really able to safely walk on the streets at night. And that was like a major point in my head. I was, oh my God, like, what's going on?
And also, I think the communication part, when you need to learn a new language, and of course, you don't know all the words, and sometimes you need to communicate something that you have no idea how to do. It's a struggle.
Yeah, for sure. Your brain, I think it's working, spending like extra energy, and you get super tired after like a few hours, and you still have the whole day to go through. That happened to me when I moved to New York as well, but that's going to come a little bit later. My experience in Sydney was only for 6 weeks, but I was hooked. Like, I was planning to stay there for a longer time, but my dad convinced me to go back to Brazil because I had that scholarship I was talking about. He told me I would get better chances and offers and opportunities if I graduated. I think he was right. It's funny because when you're younger, you think you have all the answers as well. And I'm lucky to have my parents supporting me, but at some point, like, you gotta listen to them as well and understand what they are telling you, because they lived more than you, right? So they have more experience and they want the best for you as well.
And it's really nice that your parents are always so supportive and there for you, and also from you, because you're like actually having conversations with them and listening to them. So that's really inspiring.
Oh yeah, my parents are awesome. Like, I'm super lucky. Yeah, so I'm back to Brazil and I'm studying design, which is a course I had chosen because I was planning to draw cars. So after I left Volkswagen, I didn't have that wish anymore, right? So I was able to change my classes to become a visual designer. And then it took me much more time than I thought to start making the same money I was making before. I interned in a local cosmetic company, creating packaging and catalogs for a year. And then I got another internship, but then in São Paulo, much bigger city with a much more offer, where I worked on packaging design firms there. And that's where I slowly started to feel more comfortable as a designer and getting a little bit better salary, but not enough. And then I think it's important to talk about like the people you meet in your life. I was working for this agency in São Paulo, and the creative director at the time was Patricia. She told me about Milton Glaser, who is a very famous and important designer. He created that logo, I Love New York, you know, among other things. And she told me about this class that he was giving every year. It was very hard to get in, like very selective. And I tried the first time and I didn't get accepted. And then the second year that I've tried, he had some health issues and he wasn't able to give the classes. But at the time I was like, so like, okay, I need to go. And I chose another class to take. So I found this course called Advanced Design 2, which I thought, okay, I'm going to be an amazing professional now, right? I'm studying this super famous school. Do you know Parsons?
Yeah, I know.
They're big on fashion as well. Yeah. I think the part of the school that I studied is called the New School. I don't understand. Maybe I'm saying something wrong, but...
And I think, I don't know, for a lot of people, it might be also a dream to study abroad because it is an opportunity to learn and have contact with a lot of people that we wouldn't have before, and all this sharing experience, I think it's really rich.
Yeah, in Brazil, we don't feel as competent as Americans and European designers, right? We feel inferior, which is bullshit. But if you take your career seriously sometime, like, you're going to consider working for a gringo company, I think. But being completely honest with you, I think I spent money I didn't have for a very basic class. Because again, you think everything that it's in a richer country is going to be better, and sometimes it's not. So I was 27 years at that time, and my colleagues at the class were like very young, like 18 years old, 20 years old. And eventually I was giving like Photoshop classes to them. So I paid to basically teach them. But it was super fun because I met so many people. And when I arrived in New York, I remember very clearly, like, when I stepped off the subway station and I was in Manhattan and I saw those like skyscrapers and there was so much noise going on. And it was so different that I felt that same thing that I felt in Sydney, right? Like when you have like different perspective of everything and new possibilities start to appear in front of you. But then the investment paid off because I was now in the city with design everywhere, right? And I kind of start realizing why I thought the American designers were better than I was. And they live in a place full of cultural offers. And I think that's very important. I'm going to bring up my mom here again. My mom is a teacher. She taught like kids to read. And she was always like passionate about art. And she would like create like some classes and showing some pictures of paintings and everything. When I was living there, I took her to the Met. And she saw this Van Gogh and she cried a lot because she worked with that image for so much time, showing to her kids, to her students. And it was there right in front of her, you know. And I remember like going to college in Brazil and talking about all these things, all these paintings, like art history and everything. But we don't have anything close to us. And then you go to these countries and it's still like kids going to the museum, right? It's very different. And I also met very interesting people. One of them was one of these teachers from this school. Like the classes were not super good, but this guy really made an impression of me. And he told me many times, you are good. Like you can stay here if you want it. No, don't trust this guy. Like, don't worry about this. Like, everything's gonna work fine. You're too good. And I was like, okay, or maybe. And then I decided to stay. I start like looking for a job in New York, right? I decided to stay. Now I have to find this job. And then I start contacting some agencies and sending like a few of my works on their email and asking if they have a position for me. I end up doing some interviews. I think I got like 3 offers, which was super cool. I was super happy. The first offer I got, I was like running around the apartment, screaming. It's that thing that I came over here and I need to find this job, otherwise I'm a failure. You know that pressure?
Yes.
Another bullshit thing that we put in our heads. Doesn't make any sense to think like that, but we are so like locked in this idea of the success is that or the success is that other thing. But either way, I got the 3 offers and I chose the one that I thought was the best one. And then you start the visa process and everything. So moving to 2013, I started working at JKR, which is an awesome design agency. I'm very happy I worked there. And I worked there for about 11 months. And one day I was playing bowling with my coworkers and I got this email on my cell phone that was from Alejandra Delgado. She wrote me something like, hey, I'm a manager here at Apple and I think your work would be a good fit for our music team. I didn't even know what it was, a music team. Would you like to move to California?
Yes, of course.
At that moment, I thought it was like a spam or someone like playing a trick on me. You don't believe that, right? Like think about when I was growing up and never thought about working for Apple, just like something crazy. At the same time, I didn't want to move. I was just starting my life in New York. I didn't want to move to California. So I contacted my recruiter and he got me a few interviews in the week and I got another 3 offers in just 1 week. So I thought, okay, I think I can come back here anytime I want. I have a space here for me. So let's go to California.
Senna created a Bob Dylan-inspired video some years ago. It became viral and Bob Dylan himself reshared his video. What's the impact this video had in your life and career, Senna?
Oh, that was incredible. I went to New York when I was 27, took the classes at Parsons for 1 month. And then after that, I decided to stay in New York. I quit by Skype. I called my boss through Skype and say, hey, I'm sorry. I think I'm going to stay here. Like, I was 27 years old and I was thinking, if I don't do this move right now, like, I'm never going to be able to do it. I told my girlfriend at the time, Patricia, that I was planning to live in New York, and she got super mad with me. But then afterwards, she, okay, let's do it. And then she moved with me together. But before we moved, we had all that visa process. And while the visa was running and I didn't have a visa to stay, I didn't have anything to do. So I was unemployed. I was actually staying at my friend's apartment, Danilo Boer. And I don't know if I would be here talking to you, actually, if I hadn't stayed at his place. Sleeping on his couch was very good support at the time. So I was staying in his apartment without nothing to do and thinking, okay, what can I do? And then at the time, lettering and typography was something that was becoming trend. That was like 2012, and I decided to practice. So I was doing some research about some letters and trying to copy and create my own as well. And I was thinking, how can I practice this more? And then I came up with this idea of recreating the Bob Dylan cards. So yeah, there's this Bob Dylan song called Subterranean Homesick Blues. And I was listening to Bob Dylan all the time during that period. And he has a video where he's kind of like flipping cards with words while he's singing. So I thought, okay, just going to recreate all the lyrics, and I'm going to put in cards, and then maybe I can do something with that later. And then I start practicing at my friend's apartment, and that was the first time I actually played with typography. And from my surprise, it went pretty well. I uploaded on Vimeo, which was the only one that allowed me to do, because YouTube had like those copyright infringements. So I uploaded on Vimeo, and like 1 or 2 days later, you got picked by the staff, got like a kind of a badge, and it was featured on their homepage. The video gave me a lot of exposure. I wasn't expecting for that. I didn't create that for that. It was just like for practicing. So it was a surprise. It got more than 500,000 plays. And then eventually, like 3 or 4 years later, it was took out. I got a takeout notice from one of the labels or the people that own the rights. It was also funny because Bob Dylan put on his website and with my name there, and it was such an incredible time. I wasn't ready for it. If that happened today, I would have enjoyed much more and took like advantage of that exposure. But it was just like kind of new and fresh in New York, like super scared with everything that was happening, super scared with like leaving my country and trying to start a new life. So a bunch of things going on, right? So I wasn't ready.
Whoa, that is really impressive. And this is an amazing example of how personal projects and personal passions can have a huge impact in your life. And this is really cool that Bob Dylan himself reshared your video. That's awesome.
Yeah, or his team, right? You never know if he saw it or not, but I think he did, right?
Yeah, I think so. What does it mean to be a Latino for you?
Well, to start, I think I never thought about being a Latino before I moved to the US. In Brazil, we don't have this idea of being part of the same thing as the other countries in South America. We are a very big country with a bunch of different things and specific things from Brazil, and we speak different language. So I never considered myself a Latino. And then when I moved here, I start seeing all those boxes you need to check, filling forms, and then you never find an option for yourself. So you end up like filling the Latino box, right? But instead of looking for a difference between ourselves, we end up finding like things that we're similar, right? So when you were an immigrant living abroad, and you have like Mexicans, Colombians, and Chileans, and Venezuelans together, you see how we look like each other, how we talk like each other, how our body expressions are the same, how we dance better than Americans, right? I think there's a lot of influence in music. We like to touch. We like to hug. And we also have like this history of colonization by Portugal and Spain that we share, right? So how our countries were created, how our society was formed, was based on exploration, and different people came to our country and mix.
I like that you brought those 2 points of the colonization and also the fact that we need to fit into different boxes. And from Brazilians, sometimes it's a little bit weird. To be sincere, I feel the same way. I discovered myself as a Latina only after I left Brazil. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, people try to label us in so many ways. And another thing that I think about it, if I'm a Latino, right? Let's say I'm a Latino, but I'm a bunch of other things. And then you have Latinos that are something else. Like there's a combination of multiple things.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes it feels that you are only allowed to be one thing, which is Latino, Latina, or Latinx, which is not true. We are like a lot of things and they are all amazing, you know? Before moving to the US, I never thought about sabbatical because it was so far away from my reality. I see more and more people taking sabbaticals, and I think this is truly amazing. So I'd love to hear from you. How was the process when you decided to take a sabbatical?
Yes, sure. So first, that's my story, right? So I'm not recommending anybody to do that based on my experience, and everybody needs to evaluate for themselves, like the position they are and how much risk they want to take. But that said, I've done that a few times in my life. When I resigned at Volkswagen and I was 18 years old, I wasn't super happy with the direction my career was taking. So I thought about like ways to make things that gave me more satisfaction. And then I left the company. I went to Australia to study English there. And I didn't have like a proper plan, but I had like a lot of support from my parents. But still, like that process was very painful. And I mean, like, and with Apple was the same thing. I knew I wanted to take some time off to think about what I wanted to do next. I was working there for 7 years already. It was only my second job here in the US. So there's so much more we can do and experience in our lives. So I was looking for different things. Plus, we were all going through this weird phase. It was a very weird year, right? Our heads were in different places. It was so hard to focus. And actually, I was thinking about resigning before that. But when that hit, like, okay, maybe it's a good time to take some time off. I planned financially a little bit. I'm not taking like a big risk.
I like that you brought this point that it might not be for everyone and it might be hard for like some folks. And even though we still need to plan, especially financially and the unknown, I bet it's not easy. It's really hard, but at the same time, it can be a huge opportunity to rethink and experiment too. I have actually another friend in sabbatical right now and I feel really inspired and I really like that our community is starting to talk more about that.
Yeah, for sure. I never thought it as a sabbatical as well. I never thought, oh, I'm going to take a sabbatical. So yeah, I was very comfortable at Apple. I was doing something I liked. But after 7 years, it starts to get repetitive. And I think we are a combination of all the experiences we lived. And I think it's very rich when you can try different things, right? You get better, right? You just add up.
And what are you hoping to get from this time off?
Oh, the first month I took as a vacation was December. So it was Christmas and New Year's Eve, which I spent with my wife because we're quarantining. And I've been painting a lot. I've been talking to a lot of people, engaging in conversation with random people, actually, to hear their experiences. I'm getting closer to some Brazilian designers now as well, understanding like their productions, how life is for them, and somehow like trying to understand myself as well through them, seeing all the options that I could go. Because when you were at work and you are so busy running with all the things you have to do during your routine, all the meetings, you don't have really time to stop and think outside of that bubble, right? You are thinking everything through the perspective from your work. And then when you break this bubble and get outside, you are then able to realize like all this other potential things you could have done with this time, and things start to appear for you, you know, like you start talking to people and then you say, oh, I just left Apple. And then this person's going to say, oh, amazing, what you going to do next? And then I don't know what to answer. And then you start thinking about, so you think a lot in the shower.
Do you feel pressured?
Oh yeah, a lot. I feel pressure every day. And I think it's just the nature of the work I do as well. We're pressured to create new things every time. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You always have to be good. Always have to present new ideas and create new things.
And I imagine people also, they kind of expect an answer, right? What you're doing next. And when you say, oh, I don't know, I'm experimenting, they might be confused.
People get very surprised when I say I left Apple, and somehow it's kind of similar when I left Volkswagen and I was 18 years old. At that time, I was living in a city with different people around me, so it was a very good job for all of us there. So I was kind of leaving that great comfort zone and looking for something else. And at that time, it was very scary. And today, I can see it was very, very valuable for me. And that experience made this process that happened this year to be much easier, right? This time, I'm older. And I have more experience and I feel much more confident as well. So it was a bit easier, but still very painful as well.
Which advice would you give to someone thinking or planning a sabbatical timing?
I think that's very personal. Each person is going to have a set of issues that I have to deal with. But it's, I don't know, what advice you would give to somebody that wants to take a sabbatical? What do you think?
I don't know. I think the planning part might be super important, and also the financial and also the emotional, right? Because it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So let's say I think I started talking to my friends about it. And then I also got support from my family and my wife. And then you start seeing like other options and making some plans. In normal times, I think I would be traveling right now, right? You take a sabbatical and then you go travel and see the world. Oh, that's awesome. But we can't do anything now, but I can still like take my time and think about my career. Actually, this whole process of this interview has brought me a lot of memories. I started to recreate my journey, my career, and how I made these decisions happen. And I don't know, I'm just opening space. I think I'm just opening space for new things to come. Something very important is that my wife was working at the time, so she had health plan, right? So I was safe with that too. She was working, so we wouldn't like starve as well. I planned a little bit financially. I can't be in a sabbatical forever, right? But we have some savings that it's going to be fine. And I think the biggest thing, you have to be confident and believe in yourself. You know, it's so hard, especially as immigrants.
And do you think it's easier or more challenging to have a sabbatical during a pandemic time? As you said, it's not like you can travel the world, right? But not traveling the world might help save money, like not spend money, right?
That's true. It's because sabbatical has this kind of like super dreamy idea that you're not going to work, right? So nobody owns you anymore. You're in control of your life. And it's not exactly like that. You have to have some kind of commitment with yourself. You have to produce a little bit. Maybe you can take some time off just to rest. But I've been painting a lot and I've been talking to people. I've been learning from other people's experiences as well. It has been like a very nice 4 months now and 4 days.
That's awesome. I'm really glad you're doing that. And I feel really inspired to hear your story and be part of this process too. And in this season, we are asking our guests which resource they would recommend. These resources can be truly anything. It can be sabbatical related or not. So I'd love to hear from you.
Yes, I think I had a few moments in my life where I saw things in a completely different perspectives. In 2019, my wife and I, we went to Japan. And when you get there, you see all those different letters and all these different people talking a different language and all the behavior is different. You realize that you don't have all the answers, right? We tend to see things and find solutions or things based on our perspectives. But if you go to a different place, you're always going to find like different solutions for the same problems. And that's something that I've been thinking a lot about nowadays. I remember when I was commuting from San Francisco to Cupertino and taking the shuttle every morning. And I used to sit on the third seat on the right every morning. And I liked that specific seat for a reason. Like I thought that the space was a little bit bigger and it was already like a higher seat, you know, like the first and the second one was a little lower and the third one is a little bit higher. So I like that thing because it's like an hour and a half in the bus. So I like that position a lot. And then one day I decided to change to the other side because the one I wanted was occupied. And then I saw a totally different landscape and it was also awesome, also beautiful, right? And from different angle. And I don't have a resource to tell people like a book or a podcast or anything like that. But I think it's important to know that you don't know exactly what's going on and just trying to find like different perspectives all the time. So if you have a problem like, okay, I'm thinking this way, so what does other people think about this way? What does other people will think about the same problem?
That was so inspiring. I love to hear your story. I didn't know a lot of some details, so thank you for that. And I'd like to leave this last minutes for you so you can share with our folks where they can find you.
Oh, I think the best way to find me is probably Instagram nowadays. So you can find me there with my name. So it's Senna_Leandro. I don't know why I put this backwards, but that's how I've been using like since I was a teenager. I guess I prefer people to call me Senna at the time. Today I don't care, but you just go there on Instagram and find me. And if you have any question or want to talk, I'm unemployed now, right? So feel free to reach out and make any other questions you want to make. That's it. I think this was helpful somehow to somebody. I don't know.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Thaisa.
That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it and see you soon. We have a new episode coming next month. In the meantime, feel free to share your thoughts with us, always with kindness, and also share with your friends if you like this episode.
Yes, share with them.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.